Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his last messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is more than I could ever describe in mere words, but he is certainly our leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in our midst. and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, family. Okay. All right. So it seems like everybody beat me here again tonight for this broadcast. And tonight we're talking about the wives and how much do you love your husbands. And, you know, we have to have someone qualified to talk about this particular subject. And, of course, you know, the MGT are going to be speaking, but we want to invite the brothers. So for you single brothers who may not know in its entirety what a good wife looks like, we have a beautiful example to bring before you tonight. But before I present her, because she needs no introduction, I would like to give the greetings to my beloved co-host, Brother Kadeem Amir Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister. And wa alaikum salam to all of our listening audience and our panel and guest speakers, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, and of course to yourself, Sister Queen. We look forward to a very exciting and informative talk tonight as we talk about loving your husband. You know, that's just a beautiful thing to talk about. So, and with family being the cornerstone of the nation, and this show, Sister Queen, I think you do a beautiful job in promoting family and marriage, and we want to continue along that path that we may build stronger families in our nation, and we strengthen our nation, that we be the epitome of an example of what a nation in a righteous state should be, that we rise above being a statistic in America, so we can say as a nation we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We don't function on the same plane and the same level on with our family as well, our whole life, but when it comes to marriage and family, we are above what is being represented in America, because in America, you could be free to do anything you want. Nobody says anything, but when you talk about being righteous, being a devoted husband and a devoted wife, you always got somebody saying, oh, that's not real, that can't be this, and it can't be that. So we look forward to disproving that theory and showing the world, as they're all listening, that the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is all wise, true, right, and exact. And if we follow it, we can build strong family, strong nation.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, Brother Kadeem. And that's a wonderful introduction to the show. And I'm gonna present another dear brother before we bring on our queen, Student Minister Stanley Muhammad, who we have listened to and absorbed and learned his words over these past few weeks. And so I just want to give you the greetings and give you an opportunity, Brother Stanley, to say anything you want to say right now, because the queen is about to take over. So, Brother Stanley, assalamu alaikum to you, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen, and also to you, Brother Kadeem, and always to the listening audience, the faithful followers of Sister Queen Aziza. We thank Allah once again, Sister Queen, for this wonderful opportunity to make war with Satan on these sacred airways of Almighty God, Allah. And I don't have much to say, but, you know, here to support you and my wife in this most important topic, because 75% of the work of God is with the woman. And if we can get the woman right, we can get the whole nation right. And so
that's
I thank
right.
Allah for you, Sister Queen, for, you know, stepping up to the task to help purify the woman of God and make her fit and ready for the return of the Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And thank you once again, and I'm looking forward to enjoying the show.
Thank you, Brother Stanley. Thank you. All right. Well, she needs no introduction, but let me tell you a few things about this dear sister. She has been the wife of our brother, student minister Stanley Muhammad, for 24 years now. She is the mother of 9 children and I think maybe 4 or 5 grandchildren, but she is an awesome MGT and an awesome example before us as being a wife, being a mother. Knowing is and knowing how to use practical application and bring all those things needed into fruition. So I'm not going to talk too much longer. I'm going to present her, Sister Queen Ruth Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sis.
Well, alaikum salam, ma'am. Had to take it off mute real quick. Thank you, Sister.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes,
definitely honor and grateful to Allah that you have invited me to your talk show to express and to share some of my life journey with my husband, you know, 24 years. And how blessed I am to have a wonderful, strong believer and God-fearing man, you know. So I'm definitely blessed, and I just thank you for blessing me to share my life with our people, you know. So thank you,
yes,
ma'am.
Thank you, Sister Ruth. Okay, Sister Ruth, we're going to get right into it. You know, I titled this show, Wives, How Much Do You Really Love Your Husband? And, you know, I don't want us to be shallow-minded when it comes to this, because love is duty. And that duty, it's one thing to know that, but it's a different thing to apply it. And Sister Ruth, I want to start with some very basic things that people may think are minute in detail that have very little significance in marriage, but they're very, very important. And the first thing I'm going to start off with, I want you to tell us about how important it is to a man, to a husband, to have an organized home.
And you said an organized home, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I would definitely start in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the Exalted Christ, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst. And I would say that the order begins with Allah God. You know, and when you are in order with Allah, then your home will be in order. Connection with Allah. You know, how strong is our connection with Him? And it shows by the way we live, you know, our relationship with Him. And I believe that it's Him that brings order into our home, you know. So it's very important to have order in the home when you coming out of a chaotic world. And like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, that honor like attract. So if we living in a chaotic world, that means honor like that is order. So that means that if we want a successful marriage, a successful, happy family life, that means that we have to put order in our home. And it begins with, you know, our order, putting ourselves in order with Allah, letting Him be, you know, our guide. So that's what I would say to that, Sister Queen. The importance of order, and when you have order in the home, you have a peace. You know, you have contentment. You are, you know, you're less stressed. You know, order is very important you know, when it comes to our black men, because, you know, him being enemy number one, that means that when he comes home, you know, you have to give him heaven. And how will you give him heaven?
Yes, ma'am. And I want to add, too, Sister Ruth, you know, it's so very, very important. And I want sisters to really think about this, because sometimes we as women, we may become overwhelmed. And you know, I remember, you know, raising three children and being married and, you know, having that chaotic schedule of having to transfer children from here to there and go to work and come home and cook and clean and do all of those things. And then, you know, sometimes we just get overwhelmed and, you know, we put things to the side and say, hey, you know, I'll get to it when I get to it. But what I noticed early on in my marriage is that, you know, if the house wasn't organized, we were not organized. You know, everybody was kind of grumpy and, you know, just kind of all over the place and disconnected. And a lot of people may think that that's insignificant, but it's not. It's very important that you have a clean home. Excuse me, I was trying not to sneeze on the air. But that is very, very important because as it relates to a man, well, let me hear from Brother Stanley. Brother Stanley, how does an organized home make you feel as a husband so these brothers will know?
I'll say it like this. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us the first law in the universe is motion, and the second law is order. Motion without order is chaos. And the Bible says that God is the author of peace, and Satan is the author of confusion. So Satan's objective is to bust up the order of your home, the order of your life.
Right.
And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that an organized lie is more powerful than a disorganized truth. I don't care how righteous you are. If you're not organized with your righteousness, then Satan's unrighteousness that's organized can actually bust up your unrighteous disorganization.
Right.
Your righteous disorganization is not more powerful than Satan's unrighteous organization.
Mm.
So the minister said, organization is just as important as truth itself. So how do I feel? I feel like God feels when something is not organized. See? Something that's not in order. Because from organized, you get order.
Yeah.
And
right.
So in the Nation of Islam, we have what we call our general orders.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps us in harmony with God. It protects us from the wiles of Satan. So if I come into the house and there's clothes on the floor that belongs in the closet, then that does something to my mind because those clothes are out of place. And anything
yes, sir.
Out of place does not actually give me a peace of mind as a man. If I come home and the children are full of diapers, urine and feces in the diaper, and the aroma of the smelling pamper greets me at the door, well, it's not going to give me a peace of mind.
That's right.
Because, Sister Queen, is five. The five senses is what produces a thought. What you see, what you smell, what you hear, what you taste, and what you touch.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm seeing this organization, if I'm smelling a bad odor, if I'm hearing yelling and screaming and belligerent talk, see, if I am feeling when I take off my shoes crumbs on the floor, see, all of this produces a thought of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
It's called disorder, uncleanliness. And God is not, clean is not next to godliness, but it is godliness, as we're taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So to answer your question, you know, in short, well, I knew I took a long route, but in short, that it does not give any man, no man likes disorder. It doesn't give any man a peace of mind. But when he comes home, and like when I come home, I see everything organized. I see my wife looking good, smelling good, talking sweet with a beautiful smile. I can take off my shoes and my feet that hit the hardwood floor is clean and fresh, and my feet just grip the hardwood floor, and it just gives me a peace of mind when I hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's voice when I hit the door, and the sweet smell of the incense or fresh cleanness when in the air or the atmosphere when I come home, and the children are clean. The children are teaching me, telling me what they have been taught by their mother and teaching me what I did not know of their studies of mathematics and science and et cetera. So that's what I would say, Sister Queen, in terms of that question. When you walk into a disorganized environment, it does not bring peace or order to the mind of the black man. It's hard for him to think. It's hard for him to focus. It's hard for him to have tranquility and peace of mind.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Stanley. And Brother Kadeem, I don't want to leave you out. Do you have a question you want to ask Sister Ruth?
I do. Yes, Sister Queen. Sister Ruth, Assalamualaikum, of course. I'm thinking in how society has and a lot of the ways of this world, and sometimes I guess it's necessary, it depends. Now, I've heard you share with us that in your 24 years, you've never worked. And I think we as men doing for self or and really being maintainers help in that order in the home. So how important do you believe it is that women stay home? And I don't, and this is a touchy subject because some women see that as oppressive. But how important do you see men working and a woman staying home contributes to that order? And it's a two-part question. And secondly, if for whatever reason the husband and the wife both are working, should the husband contribute to the order in the home?
You know, I say, brother, from experience, I think that it is our being taught wrong about, you know, Allah's way. And not knowing Allah's way, we have been conditioned to think, you know, the way of the world. So we see being, you know, staying home as so that's oppressive. You know, I can't do what I want to do. I want to go to school. I want to be a doctor. And see that staying home is oppressive because that's the world. That's how you've been brought up. You know, when I grew up, I wasn't told I need to learn how to be a good wife. I need to learn how to be a good mother. No, I was taught to go to school, get an education, and then pursue my career. Go to a college and become a doctor or, you know, whatever, engineer, whatever you want to do. But it was never the basis or the foundation that God by nature made the woman to do. So right there, it's like it's like you're going against what you've been taught. So it's going to be, you know, friction in the beginning. You're doing something that you've been taught against. So sometimes, you know, that mindset comes up and battles. And, you know, and that's why we're taught about the battle in the sky. It starts with the brain, in the mind, you know. So what battle is in the mind? The mind that we were taught a certain way that it was not of God. So now it's a battle because we're taught this way all of our lives, and now we come into the knowledge of ourselves and we're taught on the right way, the proper way of living life. So now there's a battle going on in the mind, you know. And I tell you, brother, that, you know, I did begin with that mindset, you know, because I was going against what I was taught, patient. And I didn't give in or I didn't give up. You know, I was blessed to experience the benefit of what that life brings. You know what I'm saying? See, as long as we do things the way of Satan or the way of the world, we will never know what real happiness is, what real peace is. Now, in the beginning, it's going to be a battle. You're going to have mixed feelings and controversy within yourself. You're going to experience those things. But that's why we're taught to seek Allah through prayer and patience. Pray and ask Allah for patience so that he can keep you strong on that path so that you will be able to experience that reward that comes after living that life. And I can say that that's what I have experienced. It was rough in the beginning, but because I didn't give up, because I believed in what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught me, what he taught me, then I stayed firm on what he believed, what he taught me, and I didn't give in to the things that I was taught by, you know, my family, the world, and it blessed me to be able to experience that happy life. Now I can say to any woman, I'd rather stay home, take care of my family, my children, my husband, myself, and enjoy life. I mean, it's such a blessing. It's such a peace that you don't have to go out there and deal with Satan's world every day, dealing with all these mindsets. You know, I'm at home creating heaven for my family. I mean, it's a peace, brother, and a contentment of mind that we get from following Allah's way. You know, so I say that, you know, yes, of course, it's going to be, you know, hard in the beginning. But if we don't give up and stay firmly rooted in what we are taught, as, you know, we've been taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we're going to be successful. We're going to experience what Allah wants us to experience, which is heaven on earth, you know. And as long as we, you know, think that we know best or everybody else knows best but God, then we will never experience that happiness. We will never experience that heaven on earth, you know. And the minister said that if, you know, if there is two, you know, people working in the home, if the husband and the wife is working, then yes, the husband has to help the wife take care of the home because she's helping him with his responsibility. So now he has to be able to, you know, appreciate and be grateful that he has that type of woman that's willing to help him. And then he has to be able to get in there and wash some dishes and, you know, clean the house And it's so beautiful because I'm telling you, my daughter, when she first married her husband, and her husband didn't clean, he didn't cook. She was a homemaker, and she cleaned, she cooked. But then when she started working, in the beginning, he was used to her doing everything, you know? And, I mean, dishes would be piled up. He didn't care. He waited till she got home from work to do so she could do it, you know? But because of his love for her, see, that's where love comes in. When he seen all that his wife was doing, she didn't give up. She didn't say, oh, I'm tired of doing this. She was a faithful servant, and it was, you know, it was sacrifices that she had to make to teach him, but it caused him to learn to love her. And it next thing you knew, my daughter was so surprised when she came home. He was cleaning up the house. He was cleaning up the dishes, and she was like calling me all shocked. Oh my God, you got to see what he's doing, you know. But it is love when we show one another love, and we see the love, and we know that that's love, then we want to show love for each other. And that's when the man, you know, when he loves his wife and he sees his wife loving him, then he, you know, gets in there and helps his wife because he don't want to burden her down. He wants to, you know, keep her as pleasing to him as he can, you know. So I believe that it can work, brother, both ways. And the minister said, you know, brothers should chip in and help their wives, you know, when the wives is helping them. So,
to Allah. And definitely I would like to get some feedback from Brother Stanley with respect to both those questions.
Okay, repeat the question one more time, my dear brother.
Yes, sir. The question is a two-part question. The first question, with respect to order, how important is it to have a wife that's a stay-home wife? And that's the first question. And the second part of the question is, if both husband and wife are working, should the man contribute to the order in the home?
Well, to the first question, it is extremely important and it is invaluable to a man to have his wife as a homemaker, because the home is a place where the man can rejuvenate himself to a point that he can go back out into the world refreshed, revived, rejuvenated, and focused on his assignment. When he can come home, as we said earlier, to a wife that have focus on making heaven in the home for him and for her family, referring to the wife, that is invaluable. But when a woman has, and she's out there trying to climb up the corporate ladder, then who's watching your children? Who's teaching your children? Who's preparing a meal for your husband that he can continue to be that BMW, black man working? See? That his health can be intact. His mind can be intact. See? His spirit can be intact. Who is preparing that spiritual meal? Who's preparing that physical meal? Who's actually consoling him when he gets home from work? It's a science. And it takes time to be able to prepare to receive a man that have been working in a white supremacist environment all day. black man gets beat down. So it's important that the woman understand the science of caring for her husband, the science of rearing her children, the science of making her home an atmosphere of peace and tranquility, a microcosm of heaven. And when, like my wife already answered the question really so beautifully, you know, when two are working, well, brother, it is your duty to be the maintainer and the breadwinner of your home. But if your wife is sharing in your duty and your responsibility, then you should help share in hers. Don't expect when your wife and yourself get home from work, both get off at 5 o'clock, and then you kick your feet up and say, baby, where's the bean soup? Baby, what's for dinner? Baby, the house need to be clean. Baby, you know, I need my shirt ironed, my suit ironed. No. You iron your shirt. You iron your suit. Tell your wife, sit down, relax. Let me make you some bean soup. As she is exhausted and you are exhausted, but she's exhausted because she is actually helping you in your duty and your role. And that's how women suffer from burnout. That's how women are not able to actually live 100% according to their nature, because the man is not realizing that he is not allowing her to be herself. When she is paying the mortgage, she is paying the electric bill, she is paying the gas bill, she is paying the car note, etc. Yes, sometimes the black woman makes more, in most cases, than the black man. So therefore, if the enemy is creating an atmosphere like this, and he is, well, you have to be cognizant that she is loving you enough to help you in your role, where you should learn to take some cooking classes. You should learn to actually take some ironing classes and iron her clothes, wash some dishes, wash some clothes. Not do it all, but share. As she is equally sharing with you and your responsibility, or whatever degree she's helping you in responsibility, that's the degree you should help her in hers. That's how I would answer that.
Yes, sir. That was powerful, Brother Stanley. All praises due to Allah.
Praises.
And, you know, I know y'all talking about the household, and, you know, I'm not going to go into a long spiel about nutrition and about, you know, GMOs and processed foods and fast foods and, you know, the inappropriate foods, and we're certainly not going to talk about bacon, but I want Sister Ruth to expound on the importance of the diet and the importance of preparation of food. I remember my father telling me when he was teaching me how to cook bean soup, and he came in the kitchen and I was putting everything in, and I said, I got everything in, Daddy, and he said, did you put love in that bean soup? And so it is so important to even prepare the meals in your home with the proper spirit as well as the proper foods, because whether we want to admit it or not, we become what we consume in our diets. Our diets do affect our behavior. It affects our mood swings. It gives us chemical imbalances that make us just not feel good. And when we don't feel good, we don't react very well. And so, Sister Ruth, please tell us about the importance of food preparation and why does that make the husband happier and shows him more love.
Yes, ma'am. Food is very important. And like we're taught by the Most High Elijah Muhammad, he said that food can keep us here or it can take us away. You know, and if you want, like my husband said, your BMW to keep running, then you got to make sure you give him the best, you know. And the thing about it is that we are so blessed that God came himself to teach us how to eat to live. Man, how powerful is that? And that is telling us the importance of what we put in our bodies. If it was not important, God wouldn't waste his time on teaching us how to eat to live. But he knows that for us to be able to, you know, give Satan hell or build a new kingdom, a new world, we need strong bodies. We need strong minds. We can't have no sick people building, you know, a new world order, because it's going to take a lot of hard work. You know, it's going to take strength. And so we need the proper food to maintain the body strong. So God had to come himself and teach us how to eat to live. And the Bible says that Jesus would teach them what to eat and what not to eat and what to store away. You know, so that's what we've been taught in the Nation of Islam by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He has given us Book 1, How to Eat to Live. He has given us Book 2, How to Eat to Live. And these books, if we apply them to our lives, we will see the benefits. We will see the success. I was talking to this sister, and she's not in the nation. And she was talking about, you know, because her daughter is in the nation, and she was talking about how her daughter, you know, she feeds her children. She don't feed them 3 times a day or, you know, more, however that, you know, she thinks that they should be fed. And when I said, sister, I don't feed my children. They eat 2x a day. And I said, my daughter, she's 24 years old. She is healthy. I have a healthy daughter. I said, I haven't given my children immunizations since I've been in the Nation of Islam. None of my children receive immunizations. I said, and I have some of the healthiest children walking on the planet. You know, when they go get, checkup, their iron is right. You know, their sugar is right. Their pressure is right. And I've even told her, I said, in some of my family, my children and my husband are vegetarians. They don't even eat no meat. And I said, I have family members that don't eat like I was taught to eat. They eat 3 meals a day. Some of them eat 4 meals a day. They eat meat. I said, and I have a 3-year-old nephew who is borderline diabetic, and he eats 3 meals a day. I said, so you have to question, you have to look at what is successful. Is the way I'm feeding my family and taking care of my family based upon the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is that blessing my children to stay healthy, to stay out the hospital? And then you look at those that are eating the way we've been taught by the world, eating 3 meals a day or 4. It's really more than 3, because they tell you to eat breakfast, lunch, and then in between snack, and then dinner, and then an in-between snack before you go to bed, you know, a late night snack. So they're teaching you to eat all these times of the day, all these many times a day. But then I was listening to a radio show, and it was a Caucasian doctor on the radio show. He was a scientist. And he was saying that they did a study at Harvard. Now, this is a prestigious, you know, expensive college. Now, these students did a study on how to eat to live. And in the study, they had rats that ate, you know, three times or more a day. Then they had rats that ate one meal a day. Then they had rats that they fed every other day. And do you know that they found out that the rats that ate the most got old quick and died fast? The ones that ate less stayed youthful long. They was youthful and they lived longer. So what is that telling us? Is that this man, this Caucasian man, is taking the messenger's teaching, is taking how to eat to live, and he is studying it. He's experimenting with it. And he is bear witnessing that the Most High Elijah Muhammad is right and exact. We have been given by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad the way of God. Allah wants to give us life and life more abundantly. And not just life more abundantly in bad health, but he wants us to give us a good life, a life where we don't suffer from pain in our joints, from headaches, from diabetes. You know, all these diseases that our people are going through, we don't have to suffer that, believers. We don't have to suffer that. You know, but Allah, he gives us a choice. We can accept his way or we can reject it. He don't force not one of us to accept his way. You know, and I know the importance on how to eat to live, because when I'm telling everything I'm saying to you, that because I was taught this, I am living witness. My husband, when we was in the world, he had a real bad acne problem. If he was white, you'd be disgusted.
Oh, wow.
He was black. It covered some of it, you know? But
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And on top of that, he had his mother that same year, before he came into the nation, his mother was going to have him get his tonsils removed, because prior to that, every year, my husband would have strep throat every year without fail, Sister Queen.
Mm.
But when my husband came into the teachings, let me tell you how powerful these teachings are. And if we only practice them, we will see the benefit. Ain't nobody got to convince me that that man didn't tell the truth. I am a living witness that he told us the truth, because my life is an example. I lived, I seen. My husband, since he came into the nation, Sister Queen, he has not had strep throat not one time.
Praise
His skin
Allah.
Got so clear. His skin got so clear. That it was amazing. I'm telling you, the dermatologist, now I'm dating him, and I'm going to his dermatology visits with him. And we sitting in the, you know, in the office for hours for them to see him and give him some darn cream that didn't work, that didn't help. It just made it worse. So now he comes into Islam. He ain't got no cream. Guess what? The acne is gone. He starts eating how to eat to live. His acne is gone. So I know that a lot of times the way we look is because of how we eat.
Yes.
You know, and how we think, you know. So I know for a fact that eating the proper foods, thinking the right thoughts is very important in our life and in our family's life, because we can give them a good life, we can give them life more abundantly, or we can send them to the grave early. You know, we as women are the ones who can set that pace. And if you love your family, you want the best for your family. You don't want your children dying at a young age. You have young people now at 15 years old dying of cancer, you know, having high blood pressure. When have you heard a young person have high blood pressure? 3 years old, you have not been. What is this? You know, so we are the women, the wives, the mothers, we are the first nurse. We're the first doctors. So if
That's
we
right.
just do what Allah has taught us and instructed us to do, we will have healthier families, you know, and we will have happier lives, because who wants to see their children sick? Who wants to see their husband dying?
Not
we don't. If we love them, you know, so it's very important that we study Hadith to Live by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we apply it. Don't doubt that man. Do not doubt the Christ, because he came to save us. And if we just try him, like the minister said, try God. See, we're not successful
yes,
because we ain't trying God. So it's time for us to get tired of this wicked world, all this sickness and disease, and try Allah. Don't doubt nothing that that man says in that book, but do it and see what happens. You be a testimony
yes,
of his word. You be a testimony of his word. And that's what I would say, Sister Queen.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to remind the listening audience, we are going to take questions at the top of the hour. So we have a few more minutes, and I want to give Brother Stanley an opportunity and Brother Kadeem as well. You know, I don't know if it's true or not, you know, but they always say that, you know, like your wife's food is like the best food, and, you know, it just tastes better and things of that nature. But, you know, I want to know for certain, you know, because it could be just particular brothers, but I'm going to go with you, Brother Kadeem, first, because I know you were once married. So how important was that homemade meal to you as a husband versus her going out getting a box of chicken or going to a cafeteria, bringing some food, preparing in another kitchen? How important was that to you as a man and as a husband?
Well, fortunately for me, dear sister, even though my ex-wife worked, she truly indeed was an MGT. She never brought home a box of chicken because she knew I wouldn't eat that. She knew me very well and what I would eat. Nonetheless, that's very important because food affects your attitude. And when we're as black men out here in this world, we deal with so much. And you don't want to come home aggravated and frustrated in the world to be aggravated and frustrated in the home. But the one thing I truly appreciated about my ex-wife, she knew me so well. She knew when I was hungry. She could tell by the way I was talking or the tone of my voice or whatever it was, she would say, oh, you hungry. You need to eat this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knew that. So those having that meal prepared, but having a wife that's studying you and know what makes you adjust your attitude, I guess, knowing that was very important to me. And I think that's very important to every man, because sometimes we don't even know ourselves. You know, and I think that the woman has the ability to bring out of a man that which we can't bring out of ourselves. So, knowing, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that your kitchen, that's your laboratory, that's your pharmacy. So, my wife knew certain illnesses, if I sneezed a certain way or coughed a certain way, she would just fix food, you know, and say you need to eat this much of this, or you need the green salad. No, eat this fruit. Or she used to do this ginger lemon thing for, like, I have, like, sinuses. When it would go off, she said, you need this. You know, so having the proper food prepared is truly, truly important for our life, not only our life and our health, but understanding we're in a mission. And there's that food that we eat It gives us the energy. It gives you the strength mentally, physically, and it that gives you your physical food for us to engage in this spiritual mission and physical mission that we're actually in. So when you come home, and I feel sorry for the fast food brothers that got to come home and eat that, or you're not getting a proper diet of how to eat to live in your home. I really, hey, man, you got to work that out. You know, I can honestly say I didn't experience that. Now, I will tell you, it's horrible being a single brother, because sometimes when you're out there in that working all day in the world, you have to come home. Now, we were talking about order early. You create the order in your home, and you're out there now. You know, but it also gives you a sense of understanding, well, as a single brother, what a sister has to deal with when she's trying to find balance of being a wife and a mother and a homemaker and these types of things. So I just think that it is so important that we're eating properly. And it's exciting. It's happy. I'm talking about the feeling you will come home to, the atmosphere and the conversations at the table. And it's all about the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, so I just found it was an opportunity to share a meal and talk about her day, what went on with you, as well as have her ask what went on with you and that type of thing. And then we can correct some issues if we saw something wrong in the day, or we saw how another person handled something, could have handled something differently. You know, so that was just a beautiful thing. And I think that when you have a wife that cooking properly for you, it's healthy, and it's something you desire and you want it, and you begin to understand the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, particularly one for like myself. I know how to cook, but that's not something I enjoy actually doing. But you enjoy the benefit. We read the book How to Eat to Live, even if we're not necessarily cooking, but we can feel the benefit of eating a good bowl of bean soup. So it's a beautiful thing, and I encourage every brother to, you know, I hope and pray every brother at least have that experience with their wife.
Yes, sir. And before we hear from Brother Stanley, let me just say this. You know, I was in the nation prior to 75. I remember as a little girl, and I don't know what happened, but let me just drop this on the MGT. You know, Friday night study group used to be the night where the single sisters, or not single sisters, when the sisters would actually prepare the fish and bean soup and salad for the single brothers, you know, who may not, you know, they may not be married, and they may not get just that healthy meal every day. But that's something that we used to do a long time ago. So I'm just putting that out there. You know, we can still implement that in our study groups and in our mosques. Huh? I'm sorry.
Put it out there, sister. Put it out there.
Yeah, we can still do that for our brothers, because, you know, I know so many single brothers. They go home and they, you know, I'm like, what are you eating? I'm eating a sandwich. Or, you know, on Sunday they might have the benefit of getting a wholesome meal, but I'm eating a sandwich, or I'm just eating a piece of fruit, or, you know, whatever. It's not a full meal. Now, not all brothers, because you got some brothers who can cook, no doubt. You know, a brother who been out there soldiering all day, and he did that after work, more than likely he's not going to come home and fix a well-balanced meal. So, sisters, whether you're married or single, if it's something that is feasible for you to do, you know, let's, you know, honor our soldiers. You know, let's get together, let's give, you know, put $2 or a dollar a piece and make a big bowl of bean soup and fry some fish, or bake some fish on Friday and fix them a good wholesome salad, and, you know, some bean pie or something sweet for a dessert, and just, you know, have it there for them. I think it's very important that, you know, we do our best to keep our soldiers healthy until they get those, you know, those mighty MGT that will eventually become their wives, but let's keep our nation strong. I just wanted to put that out there. Okay. Brother Stanley, you want to tell us something about the importance of a good home-cooked meal from your beautiful queen and what it means to you? Because I want sisters to understand, I you know, I don't often hear this, but I've heard it enough where, you know, cooking is a burden, cooking is old-fashioned, you know, I work, I'm not going to come home and cook every day. You know, there's a whole attitude. Sometimes, not all my sisters, but sometimes there's a whole attitude that, like, this is too domestic for me. I'm a, you know, educated woman. You know, I work. You know, I have my career. You know, I have these children. I need something quick and easy and convenient because I got to get out there in the world tomorrow. So, Brother Stanley, what is the value of a good wholesome meal?
It's love. You know, when a man comes home and his wife prepares a wholesome meal, which is a relative term, which is a meal that's tailor fit for his benefit. Because,
that's,
you know,
right,
like my wife said, you know, in the past, I had different ailments, you know, and it was because of my wife's MGT training that helped clear up my skin problem. It helped, you know, with my strep throat. Every year I had strep throat, every year, without fail. Mm. But when I actually joined the nation along with my wife, she became a pharmacist in the kitchen. Because like you said, every food has a chemistry in it. And the chemistry of that food, it actually is designed to harmonize with the chemistry of the body because the body's a big, and when you have like myopia or nearsightedness, and then your wife prepares a nice meal that's full of calories.
Brother Stanley? Uh-oh. Okay, they dropped. Okay, what are we going to do? I'm going to get them back on the phone. And we're going to take some questions right quick. And we have a question from, oh, I can't even pronounce this name, Barshea. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can get them back.
Mr. Queen.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? There you go.
I can hear you now. Yeah, we.
Okay. Are you good? Your phone is good?
Yes. I was talking. I didn't know we got disconnected until you called me back. Please give
yes,
me.
Yes, sir.
I apologize. So
no problem.
Where did I leave off? Where did I drop off at?
Let's just start back from the importance about the, you said something about the chemicals and the brain.
Yeah. So we the food, every food has a chemistry. And Almighty God Allah created that food to have an aim and a purpose for our health or well-being. And the woman must study each food and know its aim and objective So when she sees an ailment in her husband, she can take that food as a pharmacist or a doctor takes medicine to heal. Because the real healing is not in the medicine. The real healing is in the food. And the woman must know the science of preparing a meal to help cure her husband, heal her husband, and maintain her husband's health. And what I was saying, Sister Queen, is that I don't believe most women who say they love their husband and feeding their husband fast food and don't take time to prepare a wholesome meal for their husband, I don't believe they love them like they say they do. I don't believe that. Because if they did,
yes, sir,
they would take time. As they take time to take that car to get an oil change, they take time to make sure that those tires get rotated. They make sure when they stop at the gas station, they put the right kind of gas in the car. Well, what about your husband? Do you have that same care for your man? And if you don't, why not? And most women know that them fried foods ain't good for that man, but you give it to him anyway because you're lazy. But you want a man, but you're lazy. You want a man, but you actually don't want to take care of him like you're supposed to. If the car has an owner's manual, hell, the man got an owner's manual. How you going to let your man who's working for you all day and he's tired, but let him get too tired to go up, get up and go to work? Let him get lazy on you and not paying them bills. Your mouth will be running like 85 going north on the expressway. But he working for you, and then he come home, and you going to give him a Subway sandwich? KFC chicken? McDonald's hamburger? And you don't want to take time to actually go to culinary art school to learn how to care for a man that God will bring in your life? You don't deserve no man, because when you get him, you'll just kill him. And God's not trying to kill his people. He's trying to save his people. But you're nothing but a murderer in the kitchen. Well, you don't even go in the kitchen. You don't go in the kitchen. You let Sarah Lee do the cooking. But let some woman see you are irresponsible in your duty to your man, but that woman next door don't know how to cook. And she happened to knock on the door talking about, I made some homemade biscuits. I want to share with you and the family. And that brother eat them homemade biscuits. He never tastes nothing like that. Whole wheat bread. I made some soup for y'all. Bean soup. And you wonder why he wind up at her house next door and leave you by yourself.
Oh,
come on, what does the man want? Some church's fries or some KFC chicken? Now I'm just keeping it real, says the queen. KFC chicken or some whole wheat biscuits made with love. With that, not margarine, but butter dripping down on the side, Brother Kadeem. It's piping hot. That soup just smelling good and just calling your nose to the bowl. And it got the carrots. It got the peppers. It got the, you know, corn in it. It got all the good vitamins in it through the food. And she said, I just wanted to give this to you and your family. And they say a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Now you go ahead and look at yourself, sisters. Don't look at the man. Look at yourself and see where you are failing in your duty to maintain a man. Because if you think that sex is going to keep that man, you a crazy woman. A man, sex alone going to keep no man. You got to know that man is a chemistry factory, and if food is right, it will produce a chemical reaction in the brain that says, love that woman, treat that woman right, because that food is going to tell him that in its pleasure center. The hypothalamus of his brain will say, I love my baby. Good God, that meal was fantastic. I never tasted nothing like that before. So all them other women he'd been with, they've been giving him KFC and Pizza Hut and all that other crap. And then you come in his life, ain't no woman ever treat him like that before. His brain said, you the winner. He will never leave you. He can't wait to run home to that homemade meal. But you can't be a hit-and-miss woman, a Sunday cooking woman. I cook only on Sundays. Wait a minute. What if that man only work on Sunday? What happens to the bills? So
yes,
I say to you, sister, it denotes you don't love him like you should. That's what it denotes if you don't cook for him. But if you cook for him, it denotes you really love that man.
Mm-hmm.
If you cook a whole wholesome, and then you give him order in his food. You're not supposed to drink with your meal. My wife tell me, honey, no, it's not time to drink. You can have some milk with your food because milk is not a drink. It's a food. It interferes with the digestive system. So she tell me, oh, it's too late to be eaten. You don't need that bread. You don't need, see, that's love. That's love. When a woman tells a man, I want you to live. That's love. And she makes the food not taste nasty, but she makes the food that he needs to eat taste real good and make it good for him and make him do a Toyota kick and call her name when he do that kick. And then after he call her name, he said, I thank God for you, my baby. And that man will go out there and conquer the world for you. You get in that kitchen, black woman. You go into a culinary art school and you learn how to care for a man in the science of food and stop eating emotional. We have to eat more scientific and not eat emotional. We become an emotional eating people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I have to say, okay. Queen. I didn't mean to take up too much time.
It was a lot
question.
To say, brother, and you said it well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean,
but no, go ahead, Brother Kadeem.
No, ma'am. No, I find, and I've heard it often, some of the things that Brother Stanley said, and sometimes I'm baffled that some sisters say we've accepted the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but you don't accept this part of the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I've heard sisters say, I'm not going home to cook. I work like he worked. You know, and it,
yeah.
And I think that it creates a conflict in the home. And of course, you know, I would blame the husband, of course, but that would take us way off topic. But Brother Sammy said a lot. Praise be to Allah. No, we got questions.
Yeah.
I know we got questions in the chat room or on the line.
Yes, yes. Okay. Let me refresh my screen because I think, yeah, I'm stuck. Okay. If you all have questions, press 1 on your dial pad and we'll take your questions. But Sister she broke it up for me. Basha Rita. Her name is Basha Rita. She says she's been married for 2 years, and she says she does not understand him needing his space. Okay, Sister Ruth, Sister Basha Rita's husband said he needs his space. So how is she to react to that?
Well, then I would have to say, you know, when he said he needs his space, how much space? You know, because the minister did, you know, he did say that we should have, you know, he broke it down, one day for family and 3 days work hard, 4 days hard, 1 day before I fail, you know. So when she says he needs his faith, my mind is questioning, what does he mean by he needs his faith? Does it mean that he don't want, you know, her around? He, you know, maybe he's been single for a long time. He's not used to having someone, you know, with him all the time. Actually, we had a couple like that that we counseled, that both of them were single for a long time, and then they got married. And, you know, the husband wasn't used to always, you know, having a partner around. So it was a little challenging. But, you know, because, you know, counseling, he sought counsel, and it helped and it benefited. And now it's like, you can't keep them apart, you know. So, you know, like I said in the beginning, the way that we were taught in the world, sometimes we condition our mind to be a certain way. And, you know, we don't allow nothing or no one to take us out of that condition. So we stay in that condition and we suffer, you know. And I think that we have to condition our people on what's right. That brother needs to be conditioned on what a real husband looks like, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because my husband never said to me he needs faith. You know, I might be pushing him away. Give me some, though. No, but, I mean, his love is like, I mean, I just, the love that my husband has for me, I see
uh-huh.
it. Because it has never been a time where he wanted me to stay away. You know, any time, like I was, we had the brother Nuri to come down and, you know, teach at our study group. And I told him and his wife, I said, you know, as long as my husband and I have been together, anytime my husband traveled to do any, you know, teaching or speaking, he always been coming with me. It's like it was always he wanted my company. And even to this uh-huh. day, he gives a pleasure to have me in his company. It makes him happy to have me in his company. So I don't understand that language. And the only reason that I can say that, you know, give that sister an answer is that he has not been conditioned on the right way, you know what I'm saying, on how to, you know, treat your wife or how to be a good husband. So I think that he has to be taught, you know, and like I said, and he has to be conditioned also to the way of God and not the way of Satan. I mean, I hear, you know, people are like friends in the world, girlfriends, where they talk about, you know, the husband having a man cage. I don't know nothing about no man cage. My husband, he don't have no cage. You know what I'm saying? He has a heavenly place, and in that place, I'm in it. There is no, that's just for the brothers, no, you can't enter. That does not exist, you know. So definitely, you know, he has to be taught out of that way of thinking because, I mean, it's a blessing to have the company of your best friend. Like I was telling my daughter, you know, when you have a happy marriage, it's like you living with your best friend, the person that you would tell them anything, that you can talk to, conversate with, share ideas, they share with you. It's like you living with that person 24/7. How happy is
uh-huh.
that? You know, so that's what I would say to the sisters, that I would say that she needs to seek counsel for her and her husband, because 2 years is they're pretty, you know, new in the marriage. So it's a lot of conditioning that needs to be going on. A lot of, you know, getting into a certain way of life that they're not used to. So I think that right now that's what they need to be seeking is counseling from, you know, good people.
Yes, ma'am. And you know, I'm going to tell you, sometimes as a young wife, you know, I think, and this is just another suggestion, because we don't know what the brother means, and he's not here to put any input in. So we don't know what he means when he says he needs faith. But I'll tell you, you know, sometimes a man might need just time to collect himself, depending on the environment that he's coming home from. You know, if he has a very stressful job, he might just need a moment to collect himself. And I remember in the two-bedroom that we had when I first got married, you know, my husband had this little space. It wasn't a man cave, because I didn't know what that was back then. But it was just, I knew that he wanted, you know, the orange cinnamon tea that I made homemade. I knew he wanted that. You know, his shoes was there. His mail was there. And that was just his space, you know, for the first 20, 30 minutes, whatever time he needed to collect himself and, you know, get into the flow of, you know, fatherhood and husbandry. So, because I was like that myself, you know, I just, when I come home, even with my small children, you know, we always had an area that was just a play area, and they would be there, and they would be in my eyesight, but sometimes I needed that 10 or 15 minutes to myself to say, okay, now let me get back into mother mode or wife mode or whatever. So depending on what the problem is, you know, I don't think it's good when a man comes home and the first thing he has to hear about is problems. Honey, the sink is leaking. The screen door fell off. I got an oil leak in my car. You know, whatever. Just give him a moment, if at all possible. So that's what I would say to that, because, like I said, the brother's not here. We don't know what the issue is. Okay. We're going to take a question from the phone line. Area code 972. I think that's Dallas. Your mic is now live.
As-salamu alaykum, Sister Queen.
Wa-alaykum salam, Brother Charles. This is a top soldier for Muhammad, miles number 48. He be fishing them in, Brother Stanley. Got him on video and filling the final call. I think he fell one every minute, because every minute he got a new picture of somebody that brought the final call. So original salute, sir. Good to hear from you.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth. I just wanted to ask you, do y'all have a book or anything, or if y'all don't have a book, do y'all plan on writing a book that would maybe help someone who's not married, that maybe look forward to getting married one day? You know, something that, you know, could kind of be like a little guide to stay successful like y'all have stayed?
Great idea, brother, and you're not the first person that has asked us about a book. And at this present time, we don't have a book, but inshallah, you know, that's something that I believe Allah has, you know, is leading us to, because there's a lot of believers that have asked us about writing, you know, a book on our life. So,
yeah.
That's, you know, that's something that's going to be taken into consideration,
because yes,
we want to help the believers. You know, we want the believers to be successful, you know, and I know that Islam, if we live it the way that we've been taught by Allah through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and then the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, we will not fail. We will be successful, you know. So definitely, brother, we're going to consider that.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Charles. Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Good question, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay. Come on, Houston, 5604, last four numbers. Area code 832, last number 5604. Your mic is live.
Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. How are you?
I am blessed, sister. How are you?
All praises due to Allah. I have no complaints, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I want to help that brother that, yes, ma'am. I just want to help that brother out. It's called about the book. I highly suggest that the brother gets Dr. Abel's book, Real Love. That is an excellent book that goes into marriage and everything about relationships. So I highly suggest that the brother get that. He can go to Dr. Abel's website. I'm going to try to pull it up while I'm speaking here. I think it's Dr. Abel Speaks or something like that. But she sells those books off of her website. Another book that the brother can get, that's, now this brother here is not in the nation, but it's a pretty good marriage book. It's called For Married Men Only, and it's by Tony Evans, who is a Christian pastor, his brother. It's also a pretty good book, but I definitely would suggest that the brother gets Real Love by Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for that suggestion. So everybody heard it, but I mean, I'll get that book, too, if I ever decide I'm going to get married again, but I'm waiting on Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth's book to come out.
Right.
All praises due to my. Yes. You know,
okay,
but anything
that, website.
That we. Yes,
go ahead,
Brother. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the website is www.avaspeaks.com. www.avaspeaks.com. And she has all her books there. But like I said, you know, dealing with marriage, it's real love.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, thank you for that information, beloved.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. And, you know, and I always, I don't know, maybe I'm old-fashioned. I always used, it's in 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Surah 4. I mean, that was always, you know, maybe, okay, I'm telling my age. So, you know, that was always the go-to information for me. So if for some reason you can't get a book or whatever, certainly we'll ask Student Minister Stanley probably next week to give us an outline of scriptures that married people can read, and then I will post them on my page. And so In the hour of difficulty, if it's 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to call anybody, you'll have somewhere to go in scripture that may help resolve your issue. Because I know Brother Stanley, I can tell you this, I don't care what your problem is, you're going to end up right back with Allah at the end of the day. That's it. I mean, hands down, that's it. No negotiation. So we got a question from Veronica. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was supposed to say her name. Okay. Anyway, the question is that she says, I don't mind assisting financially, but for how long am I supposed to assist him financially when we are taught that we are supposed to stay at home? Okay. Sister Ruth?
Yes, ma'am. I say that, you know, because it's not in her nature does mind. Because if she didn't mind, she wouldn't ask that question. How long must I do it? How long must I suffer this, Allah? So it's not the nature of the woman to go outside of the home and work like a man, you know. But because we are living in, you know, Satan's world, And the minister talked many times of the less of the evil, you know, and to bring harmony back into our lives, to beat this devil, you know, at his, you know, at his way of life, then we have to do things, you know, for a short term, like medication. You know, we have to be given some type of medication in that condition. So that medication for that condition is that the wife, you know, help that husband a short period of time to, you know, carry his load. You know, but a woman should never be made to do something that is not in her will to do. Because when a woman, you know, when she is made to do something that is really not in her heart to do, you really are destroying that woman. You know, especially if she wants to be home, you know, to take care and rear her children, then the sister has to be willing to make sacrifices too. Because with my husband and I, when he worked, you know, and he got fired because he's a black man talking Islam in America, they didn't like that. So, you know, he got fired many times because of his belief. Not because he was lazy, not because he was ignorant, stupid. You know, I'm married to one of the most brilliant men in the world, you know. But it was not that. It was because of his belief in who he was. So then I had to be willing to pay a price, you know. And Jesus said, we got to deny ourselves. What is it that I had to deny to build my family up? I had to deny luxury, not so much of the luxury. I would say I had to deny materialistic things, a nice car or even a car. I had to deny myself from having a beautiful home, a big home. You know, I had to deny myself from having even a home. You know, I mean, it was a period of time that we was in a hotel. So all that I had to go through was painful, but I was not disgruntled. I thanked Allah for his blessings and his mercy upon me and my family. I was always appreciative of the type of husband that I had because I knew that he worked hard to establish Islam in my family, in my home. You know, and I know that it was not because of his negligence that I was suffering. It was because I was living in Satan's world, but we were not in the world. We lived in the world, but we were not of the world. So that caused us to suffer. So how, you know, you have to ask yourself as women, what are we willing, price are we willing to pay to build our families up? Are you willing to stay in an apartment or in a home that you really, you know, not happy? It's not a mansion or it's not what you want. Are you willing to, you know, make those sacrifices? Are you willing to do without, you know, the Mercedes or the BMW, you know, or the car? Are you willing to pay that price? And if you are, then it can be worked. You can stay home and rear your children, homeschool your children, excuse me. I homeschool all my children by Allah's grace, you know, but that's because I stayed home and I was willing to pay that price. So now my children, by Allah's grace, you know, are intelligent. They live in Islam. Even though they are, you know, on their own, they chose Islam for themselves. So I know, sister, that it can be lived, but it's a price that we have to pay. And then you have to ask yourself, are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to deny yourself? You know? And that's the question. And if he is, then, okay, look, get out, you know, quit your job. Let him make all the money, but then go. You have to live somewhere that he can afford, you know. So it's a price that has to be paid. Jesus had to pay a price to save us. We have to pay a price to save our families, to save the black family, to save our children, our husbands, you know. We've been given examples, you know, so many times of what the men of God, the women of God did to save our people. We have to be willing to do the same thing for our families.
Thank you for that question, Sharuf. And Brother Stanley, do you want to come in? And we lost Brother Kadeem. I think maybe his phone died. Tried to get him back, but it's going straight to voicemail. So, Brother Stanley, do you want to, I mean, we already know what you don't say, but Brother Stanley, you want to talk about the financial assistance from the wife? Should there be a time limit set for when the wife actually works outside of the home, or what should be done about that situation, in your opinion, sir?
I would like to say there's a lot of static on the phone, Sister Queen. I don't know where it's coming from, but
okay.
I would say that I would like to make a statement first about the brother who called in about Sister Ava and her book, Real Love, which was a great point he made about Sister Ava. When I was a student minister in St. Petersburg, I gave all the believers her book as a Savior's Day gift, Real Love, and we had a study group centered around her book. And Sister Ava lived here in Atlanta for several years. She was a student regional minister. And she loved my wife. Every time she saw her, this is before she actually had her daughters, every time she saw her, she said, I would trade places with you. I would love to be in your shoes. And I would love for you to be in the ministry. See, I admire the way you rear your children. I admire the way you actually run your family. You are a beautiful example of an MGT. And I just want us to know the kind of caliber of MGT my wife is from what one of the great student ministers of Honorable Minister Farrakhan says about my wife. So when she's given advice not only from the teachings of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad, but from an experience that she knows that works by Allah's grace. Because if you have a woman with a track record that has been married for 24 years successfully, and she has all three of her daughters who actually became aged to register at 16. They all registered on their own.
Mm-hmm.
She inspired them. And the two oldest daughters, they got married to FOI. She inspired them. See, we're not just talking about a woman that is just talking. She is blessing the nation with experience of implementing the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan that works. So I would encourage the sisters, I would encourage the believers who are listening to her wonderful, loving voice, because she speaks from love. And I just know that from a fact. I'm with her all the time. I never say I need my space. I don't never say that, because she is myself. When you love yourself, you love your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And I'm not saying that to say, brother, the way he feels is wrong. But there is something wrong in the relationship for him to say that. And the wife does not understand that.
Right.
Because there's a few things that I can say why a man says that. But I'm not going to shoot the dark, but I can say that there is a problem. And there is a disconnect between the husband and the wife, and my wife gave some wonderful counsel. You need a counselor, because the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, without a counselor, the people fall.
That's right.
And so I would say to the sister that my wife gave you some wonderful advice, but there should be, you know, a weaning process. As God takes us from darkness or night to day, it's a weaning process. And you got to be natural with it. And you have to come to consensus. You got to sit down with your husband, as the book of Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, together lest they are agreed. Don't just I'm tired of working and doing this. Don't be nasty with it, sister. Don't show frustration when you are helping your husband in his duty. Although you might be frustrated, go to the prayer rug and ask God to give you his spirit. Ask Allah to give you his guidance. And when you get up from that prayer rug, you pick up your Holy Quran. You pick up your Bible. You pick up the Word of God and you open it. And God will give you your answer. But I assure you that if you put your complete trust and faith in God and you give your husband a word from his Lord and you tell him how much you love him and you continue to show him how much you love him and you say to him, baby, we're going to make this work. But I'm asking you to help me to make heaven for you in this home. Mm-hmm. See, when you tell a man that your objective is to make heaven for him in this home, don't say you want to quit a job just to sit on your behind, though. I'm just being real.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have sex with it. You know, be a part-time homemaker. Talking about when you've been all day, you know, doing whatever you say you've been doing, the man can tell if you've been actually busy because he can see the results. Don't make excuses to make heaven for him. But when you tell him your objective is to do that for him and the family, and you come up, y'all both come up with a plan, an action. And like my wife said, if you are going to take your pay out of the equation, then don't be grumpy when it's time to downsize.
That's right. You got to pay a price.
You know, if you ain't got big money, you got to have big patience.
That's right.
You got, and the diameter of his paycheck prescribes the circumference of your spending habits. See? So
yes, sir.
If you're willing to actually make, see, either way it goes, you're going to make a sacrifice. If it's pain that you're running from, either way it goes, you're going to have to actually experience some pain. You're going to have to make some sacrifice, but you got to be understanding and cognizant. You understand what he's making, and if you think about it, are you willing to actually suffer to actually stay within the parameter or the spending habit of his paycheck? What his paycheck dictates. So, I mean, if he's a believing man, he don't have a problem doing that. If he's a believing man. But I would recommend counseling. I would recommend someone who is rooted in the teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, not biased. They will tell you what the messenger says. That's it. And if you both love God, you will obey the messenger. That's what I would say to that, Sister Queen. But that brother got to man up and say, hey, look, if my wife is not happy helping me She don't have to. That's not her obligation.
Right.
She's just not. Mm-hmm. See, when a man loves a woman, he will go out there and conquer the world.
That's right.
I see Sister Queenie's crack addicts 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to the grocery store with my wife sometime. We say, man, we got to go get some water or whatever. And we see the crack addicts out there hustling.
Yeah.
And they ain't by no ways tired. He's hustling, and he's by no ways tired because he's working for that which he loves.
That's right.
And he ain't got no shame. So how can we say we love our wife and love our family, Sister Queen? And we're not willing to make whatever sacrifices we have to make sure that they are maintained.
Yes, sir. Well, we have another question, though, Sister Ruth, that is just like the opposite of that. And this sister says, I'm allow her to remain anonymous. She says that it's her husband who is having a hard time with the financial adjustment in the home. So there has been a loss of income. I understand the brother is working, but he's not making the money that he once was making. And so now they do have to downsize. She says that she doesn't have a problem with it, but he is appears to be restless in his spirit and dissatisfied with our current situation. I try to encourage him with prayer and tell him that he does not have to worry about my happiness. I am happy just being with him and willing to endure what we must until times get better, but there is no pleasing him right now. So, Sister Ruth, what does she do?
Well, what she should do is be an MGT 24/7. It should never take her, you know, what she's supposed to be doing. And I would say that, you know, unless he, you know, is having a foul spirit, because if his spirit is, you know, restless because he wants to make things better for his family, I don't see nothing wrong with that. When I see there's a problem, if, you know, he's starting to become disrespectful, if he's, you know, treating her, you know, in a way that is belittling her or making her feel, you know, like she, you know, like she's a burden, you know, a financial burden or whatever, then that's where the problem comes in. Then he has to, you know, seek refuge in Allah. And then he has to, you know, get counseling again from a brother that he knows. I'm telling you, Sister Queen, we have experienced so much hardship. You know, my husband has went through so much hardship financially. And it was time, let me tell you the way my husband, it was one time that he was fired unjustly. He was, all the time. But this particular time, my husband was making, I think in a week, he was making like $1,700. And I mean, they kept calling him. He was a freelancer. So they would call him because when he serviced people, I mean, clients love the way he takes care of them. I mean, you're talking about FOI is taught how to give service. And that's what he did, you know. So they would always call him. So they would give him all this overtime and, you know, they'll keep calling him, so they would have to pay him time and a half, you know, on top of his regular pay. So his checks were being, you know, they were fat. But because the Caucasian, you know, manager didn't like him making as much money as the white Caucasian men,
He didn't like that. So what he did, he took my husband's pay down. Now, my husband, for all these years, been making a certain amount of pay. Now, when he comes in and he sees how much money my husband is getting, it angers him. So now he wants to start paying my husband another rate. And my husband said, oh, he said, after I work, you going to go down on my rate? When I didn't agree to that after I worked, you know, on the agreement that I was supposed to be paid this amount. So anyway, he got my husband fired. He got my husband fired. He said something about, I don't know what happened, but anyway, he got my husband fired because my husband was like, he wasn't with that. You're going to make sure you're going to pay me what I work for, and you're going to give me what we agreed upon, you know? So anyway, they fire him, and I'm like, in my mind, Sister Queen, I'm like, my husband had a choice to go back to work and work for what that man told him that he was going to give him.
Uh-huh.
You know, go down on his pay. Or he could just stay fired. So in my mind, I'm like, look, making $15 an hour or, you know, whatever an hour is better than nothing. This is my thinking, right? But
yes,
in my
ma'am.
Husband's way of thinking, that's not, he said, I'm not going to submit to that. I'm not going to allow him to dictate how I should, you know, run my life or live my life because he tells me this how much he want to pay me, you know? So I just could not understand that, sister. So I had to seek, you know, I had to pray to Allah and seek patience and seek his answers. And he did. He gave it to me. And he said to me, he said, would you rather take his manhood away for a damn job? This is what Allah is telling me. Would I rather see my husband with $250 a day, or would I rather see a man walking? So I had to make the choice, would I rather have a check than a strong black man? And I decided that I didn't want no punk husband. So I said, okay, I'm going to go along with my husband. I'm willing to sacrifice to show him that I support him in the decisions that he makes to keep his manhood. So I said,
that's
I was
right.
patient with him, and I struggled with him when he went through that. Even though in the back of my mind, I just was like, I don't see this. But Allah had to show me, and it was because I seek his wisdom that he gave me that. You know what I'm saying? And by Allah's grace, sister, let me tell you what happened. Allah blessed my husband to make a job for himself. See, it was that manhood. See, what that devil did for my husband, he blessed my husband. He blessed my family. But I had to have faith in my husband. I had to have faith in Allah that he will make my husband be a strong man.
Yes,
and so
ma'am.
My husband created a job for himself, Sister Queen Aziza. And by Allah's grace, since my husband has been working for himself, ain't no white man pay him more than he pays himself. And I am testifying of the Lord. You hear me? I am
yes,
testifying
ma'am.
Because I know what Allah would do for us as women if we are just patient and give our black men their manhood, not take it away for no damn dollar. What is a dollar's worth when you ain't got no real man? You got a lot of damn punks out here. They got money. They got BMWs, Mercedes. But they can't make you happy. So
yes,
what
ma'am.
You want, do you want a real black man or you want a man with, you know, with money in his pocket? You know, so
huh.
I know that by me allowing him to do that, it blessed him to do something for himself, not to break him. Because if I would have probably, you know, well, like, went off and
oh, you need to go get that job back, and gave him hell, he probably would have went back working for that so-and-so, and guess what? We still be in we still be living from paycheck to paycheck. Now I can say, and I can say, you know, back then I probably was giving the minister $20 a week. Now by Allah's grace, I can say I'm giving the minister a nice amount every week for charity. I thank Allah that He has blessed me to help our minister, help our nation. You know, so we have to pay a price in the beginning, but the end of it, it's a crown waiting for us if we just willing to carry that cross of death. See, the black man has been destroyed, so we have to carry that cross to revive him, to help him get his crown, and bless us at the same time. We'll be getting our crown. Because once he come up, let me tell you, see, once the black man comes up, Sister Queen, oh, my God.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, what? God, little guys walking the planet. And what would we
yes,
do as
ma'am.
Women? Can you imagine it if we just allow them to become God?
Huh. And that's the big step, allowing them to become gods. Because sometimes, you know, we might can block their process, you know.
We do.
Yes, we need to get out of our own way, so to speak, sometimes. Okay, I got a couple more questions. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Okay, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the phone line, and then I'm going to come back for that one. So, Washington, D.C., area code 202, your mic is live. You got a question or a comment?
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Aziza. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I'm well. This is Brother Craig Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque number 4.
I know who it is. I know my little brother when I hear him.
Praise be to Allah. It's good to hear from him.
Likewise, beloved.
I just wanted to go ahead and say that your whole panel is doing an absolutely terrific job in bringing awareness to all of our single brothers and sisters that are not married or courting yet to get somewhat of an idea of what we should be doing as far as taking care of ourselves and loving ourselves so that we can go ahead and bring a better nation for us as a people so that we can have more unity within ourselves and have more freedom for ourselves as well. So I just wanted to go ahead and give you all a shout-out and say thank you all so much for giving us an opportunity to get an insight of what's going on within our beautiful, strong nation. So thank you for everything.
Aw, that is so sweet. This is my little brother from Washington, D.C., y'all. We've been trying to get him a wife, like, forever. But he is such a beautiful. I'm putting you on blast. You shouldn't have called in. You know you shouldn't have did it. I'm putting him on blast. This is one of the most beautiful brothers I've ever met in my life. He has such a wonderful and sweet spirit, and he's just a striving soldier, and I mean, just genuinely sweet all the time. Perfect gentleman, always respectful, always humble. I mean, he is just the epitome of an FOI to me, and he is so wonderful. So his name is Brother Craig Muhammad from Washington, D.C. And I think he's anywhere between 26 and 30. So I'm just putting that out there.
To be exact.
I know. Yes. Thank you, Brother Craig. Love you much, beloved.
Yes, ma'am. Love you too. Y'all have a good one, all right? And thank y'all so much. Keep it up. Please keep it up.
Yes, sir. We will. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, the brother wants to hear from both of you all. And Brother Kadeem, are you back with us, beloved? Okay, maybe he's on mute. Okay, we have a brother who says this is his fourth time listening to the show, and he said that he wants to repair his marriage because his wife admitted to him that she married him for sex. Now, I'm in the chat room, I'm asking questions. It was no premarital sex. It was a straight-up legitimate courtship. Married 19 and a half months, and something's been going on. They had a conversation, and I was real reluctant to ask this question, but, you know, I try to be as real as possible, and I'm just telling you this about me. I'm a real sister. You know, I love my nation. I love the FOI. I love the MGT. I love the teachings. I love the messenger and the minister. But we have to keep it real. And I don't want us, and particularly in the nation, to pull the covers over our own eyes. We have some real things going on. And I think that the more that we harbor them or the more we keep them hidden, the longer we stay ill. You know, and I don't know why this brother didn't go to his captain, his student minister, or he didn't go to auditing or whatever, but he asks us. And for him to go that far, and he knows I know him, in all due respect, I thank the brother for trusting us to do him due diligence to the best of our ability. Because y'all know how I am. I'm real sensitive on sexual issues because just being an MGT, I don't believe it's appropriate. And it's something that we don't talk about. But I'm going to turn to Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley and Brother Kadeem, if you're there, if you want to weigh in. And this is going to be our last question for the night because we're already over time. So, Sister Ruth, what would you say to the brother in this situation?
Yes, ma'am. You said that they went through courtship and they did not have premarital sex, right?
No, ma'am, not at all.
So they didn't have no sex, right, before they got married?
No, ma'am.
You mean, when you say no, ma'am, that means no sex?
No sex, no premarital sex whatsoever.
Okay. So if he's saying now that she married him for sex, was it to have sex with him or because, see, that's what I didn't get, if it was because she knew how he was in the bed or because she wanted to lay with him?
It could have been because I think he's trying to say that she just wanted to have sex legally. And a lot of that, a lot of that is actually going on, and I'm just keeping it 100. A lot of people don't want to break the restrictive law, and so they get married, but they don't get married under the auspices of love and duty and commitment. They get married so that they can appear as though they're not breaking the restrictive laws, but it's what they call legalized sex. So I'm saying that the brother's saying that there were some difficulties in the marriage as far as communication. They were not getting along. And at some point, she ended up telling him that the only reason why she married him was for sex. So at this point, okay, he says he wants to repair the marriage. He wants to save the marriage. Now, I don't know how she feels. I don't know how she feels, but he wants to repair the marriage. So what does he do at this point?
What I would say is that, he should seek counsel for them. Because, one thing, Sister Queen, is that we are coming from Satan's world. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And mm-hmm. this world is that sex is the order of the day. Everything is around sex. I mean, we are so corrupted in our minds when it comes to sex. You understand? So it's like that sister is going through that. I mean, I don't know her life experience, if she been raped, molested, if she, you know, was molested by different people. You know, sometimes the conditions of our minds is because of what happened to us. And when we study Dianetics, we find out that things that happen to us cause us to react in certain ways. We know that's not natural for a woman to just be a sex addict. You understand? So we know that if it's not natural, then we have to be a doctor. If you love that sister, you got to be her doctor. You got to help your wife. What happened to her to make her that way? Mm-hmm. And the thing is that she could have married any man if she wanted sex, but why did she choose him? It's a lot of brothers in the mosque that are single, so she could have sought out any brother and married that brother for sex, but why did she choose him? You know, so then we have to go back and we have to study what happened to this sister that's causing her to act in a way where it's not right. You know, we have to, and that's what Islam is doing for us, is repairing our lives. You know, I mean, as a teenager, I went through a lot that it caused me to, you know, be a certain way. But because of Islam, Sister Queen, you know, I let that way go and I accepted Allah's way. And He blessed me to experience good life, you know. And I think that that's what He needs to do, is if He loves this sister, and He sounds like He does, then He has to seek counsel when it comes to what she's going through. And she has to be audited. He needs to be audited, you know, because both have inflicted pain on each other, you know. So I think that we have to really go back into what happened to her, you know, in her younger years, what she went through to make her that way. So that's what I would say, is that he should seek counseling for his wife and counseling for himself, so that, you know, they can help each other heal, because we are damaged and wounded souls. And it is the love of God that we reflect that's going to save our spouses. So it's going to be the love that Allah has for her. He's going to have to reflect that, and that's what's going to save his wife. And the same thing with our husbands. If we want to save our husbands, we have to reflect the love of God, you know. So that's what I would say to the brother, is that he seeks counsel and that he shows his wife through his love that he loves her unconditionally, and he's going to work, you know, with, they're going to work this through. They're going to work out their problems, and they're not going to give in or give up. Because it's a reason she chose him, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Well, Brother Stanley, I just gave him your phone number.
Oh, you
getting
a hook?
Yes,
right,
sir. Okay, so any information for the brother?
Well, I would just say that, Sister Queen, that the vow says, to death do us part, not to sex do us part. And, you know.
You better teach.
We'll realize that, you know, once the sex wears off, then that's when her problems will begin. Because sex is not what maintains a relationship. You know, it's much more than that. You know, it's like baking a cake You know, it has different ingredients. And every ingredient is important, but it's not, you know, the only ingredient. And so sex is a part of the ingredient of a wholesome relationship, but sex in the context in which God intended for sex to be in a relationship. So our sister's taking sex as it is the total relationship. See? According to what brother's saying, but there is a degree of love or fear of God in her life, because she could have actually just had sex, you know, outside of marriage. So she does have a degree of reverence, and the brother has to focus on that and nurture that fear of God, which the Bible says is the beginning of all wisdom.
Yes.
And if he nurtures that part in herself, he can heal her from that sick sex mind, because it is a sickness. When we actually view sex outside of the lens of God and we view sex through what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, when a man is raped or molested, a woman is raped or molested, they can be very promiscuous, as you know, Sister Queen. And this is what it points to. You know, it was what was done to her that she doesn't understand why this feeling, you know, is constant in her mind. You know, she's always thinking about sex. You got men always thinking about sex. Women. And oftentimes we know that it was what was done to them.
Yeah, right.
You see, and it's a chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
You see, mm-hmm. And so this is what Satan's objective is.
Mm-hmm.
But this brother has to love her enough to want to see her healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like my wife said, she chose him, you know, for a reason. Yeah, she said it was sex, but it was something she saw in him, because, you know, she wouldn't have went all through this courtship with this brother, and there was no attachment. It's got to be, if he believes in Allah and she believes in Allah, that's 50% of the compatibility. And if he can just focus on that and use that wonderful belief that she has in Allah and get her to have that same fear in terms of playing with marriage, you know, not taking marriage seriously as she should, you know, and start seeing marriage the way God sees it. But she won't see it until she actually gets healed. And a lot of the healing begins with, you know, living the life, encouraging prayer together in the morning, in the afternoon, you know, encouraging fasting. See, if she can fast, if she can pray, those are two chief elements that helps people master their low desires. See, if you can resist something that's natural, then you can resist something that's unnatural. You see? And the way Satan gives us sex is unnatural, but the way God gives us sex is natural. You see? So the way she's viewing sex is unnatural, but if fasting is incorporated in the relationship, honey, let's fast together. Let's have a 2-day fast.
Right.
Okay, and then you call us, how you doing with your fast? Oh, I'm doing great. You know the reward of fasting. Give us some hadiths of the prophet about fasting. Give her some words from the messenger about fasting. Give her some hadiths about, you know, praying and fasting. The words of the messenger, the Honorable Miss Wusfarakan, about praying and fasting, and encourage her. Because women by nature, brother, is to equal herself up to God. You don't have to tell her to pray and fast. If she see you doing it, she's going to be inspired. She's going to want to follow you. And the best way to teach her is by example. And you love her. See, that's one thing she can't resist. She can't resist your love.
Mm-hmm.
When you come home and tell her how beautiful she is, and you bring her roses, and you tell her that you saw so many women today, but there's no woman more beautiful than she is. Tell her how much you was rushing home to be with her. And tell her I was a little late because I stopped by and bought you these flowers. And then you tell her that you actually wrote a poem about how beautiful she is, how moral she is. Anything she does of moral good, highlight that. See, wow, you are so strong in your Islam. Look at how you made all your 5 daily prayers. I'm proud of you. I'm a cook for you today. You see, reward her when she does morally good. But if you don't say nothing, she does something morally good. Then she said, what's the use? Especially if most women try to get validation from a man. See, you got to be more attentive to her if you want to repair the relationship. You got to really give her the love of God. You got to really draw so near to Allah that she sees God in you. And when she sees God in you, she will fall in love with you. The spiritual, not the physical, because all relationships start physical. But it's supposed to grow spiritual. So then you just take it from the physical, brother, and let it grow spiritual by you being that moral superior in the house. What you want her to be, you be it yourself. And if you be it yourself, boy, she can't resist you. She going to talk about you. Oh, my man did this. My man did that. I got me a Superman. You gotta make love. You have to have spiritual and mental conjugal relationship with her. You gotta give her a spiritual orgasm, a mental orgasm, over and over and over and over again, that she's drunk in love with the God in you, not the physical you. If your name is Craig, don't let her fall in love with Craig. Let her fall in love with the Allah in Craig.
That's right.
See? And that's what it means by being connected to Farrakhan. Any woman can fall in love with the physical, but the physical don't keep a relationship.
That's right.
Especially if you roll over and smoke a cigarette on you.
Okay. All right.
That's what he's supposed to be working, but he's playing some damn video games.
Oh, my Lord.
Then he give you the electric bill.
Okay.
But anyway, Sister Queen, thank you for allowing me to share. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, my brother.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Okay. I wasn't even ready for that one, you know. But it's one thing I want to remind the brother, and I want to remind all of the listening audience and those of you in the chat room, you know, we take your questions only so far, because a lot of times you all may have issues, but we only hear one side. You know, if a husband calling in, you know, we hear what you say. We don't know what your wife is saying. And to me, I'm looking at the information provided. I don't fathom, and I'm not saying that you're lying, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't fathom a sister going through a 14-month courtship with you, marrying you just for that. I want to say that I don't know, but I gave him your information, Brother Stanley, if he wants to talk to you, and I encouraged him to have maybe a conference call or whatever you can do, because he's in New York. You know, maybe with, you know, him and the wife. But let me just say something. If sometimes you can kill the spirit of a woman, and she will say anything. You know, that is our defense mechanism, is our mouth. You know, we can't beat you physically, but we can cut your throat with our tongue. And that is a very hurtful thing to say, and you need to really get to the root of where that is coming from.
But it's highly unlikely that she just married you for that, because keeping it 100 like I do, if she just wanted sex, she can get that anywhere, you know. But for her to take that amount of time in a courtship and then followed up by a 7-month engagement, she invested a lot of time, a lot of energy in you, brother. And I think maybe you might be being a little emotional, but I'll let Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley handle that. And I'm wishing you well, beloved, for you and the sister, and you all are in my prayers. Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth, I'm going to ask y'all up front. Y'all going to be back here with me next week?
Yeah. Oh, God, you couldn't believe it.
All right, because we're going to cover jealousy and insecurity. That's what we're going to talk about. Jealousy and insecurity, because I know the last thing I used to hate is accusing me of being with somebody else. I used to hate that with a passion. So that's what we're going to talk about next week, and it's going to be very interesting, because I want to see how many sisters are cool with their husbands, female friends, and vice versa. So I already know how the FOI feel about sisters having male friends, but, you know, what creates jealousy and insecurity? What is the reaction of jealousy and insecurity, and how do we not make our spouses feel jealous and feel insecure? And it's not just about infidelity. You can make a woman feel insecure about your word, by lying. Lying creates a force of insecurity. So we'll talk about it next week. But thank you all for staying over time with us. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. Sister Ruth, thank you so, so very much, because you really gave a wonderful testimony about what it is like to be married to a wonderful FOI. And then we see now why Brother Stanley is the way he is, because he has you as a wonderful, wonderful wife. So you all compliment each other so very well, and thank you for the example that you set for our nation. So you heard them commit. They'll be back next week, and we're talking about jealousy and insecurity. So may Allah continue to bless us all. Be safe out there. Watch your babies. It's too much going on with them, and we'll talk about that on another show. So we leave you as we came before you in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Keep up the good words of the queen.
Sir?
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Stanley. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Checking them out.